Please take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we'll begin our reading at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. May the Lord bless in the reading of his word. You may be seated. Please take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 14. Most of us, I know it's true for me, hate to be told the same thing over and over again. I heard you the first time. In many cultures, however, repetition is important. It's there for emphasis. And so we won't forget it. Because what we heard the first time, sometimes we forget. There are a number of things in the Bible that are repeated sometimes in the same place in a number of ways. This is done in Hebrew poetry. You read the book of Proverbs, you see the same things just rephrased in different ways. It's either antithetical or parallel, but the idea of the same thing over and over again, the warning about the fool and what the wise is to do. Other time we deal with events or histories that are repeated. We see this in the law in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means literally second law. You have very, very little in Deuteronomy that is not also in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. It's there for emphasis as a reminder. When we read the books of Kings and Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles, we're getting repetition. And it's there because those are pieces of information. Those are facts that we need to know because they're important. And in the New Testament, we have four Gospels, each with a different emphasis, a different slant, but we have four of them. They're there because repetition is important. In chapter 14 of Romans, Paul keeps hammering on the same nail for all these verses, and I don't know how many sermons I've squeezed out of this chapter. We're dealing with, for the most part, a repeating theme that God wants us to get something. That's why it's repeated. That we need to place the needs of others before ourselves. That personal conviction is important. And that we should never go contrary to our conscience. This is such an important issue that personal sacrifice, even other things that are neutral or biblically acceptable, are to be avoided if they are a stumbling block to others. That's the thrust of this chapter. And he's rephrased it a bunch of different times, in a bunch of different ways, as we've gone through this. Now, we need to be certain of our convictions. We need to be patient with others. And we need to make sure that spiritual growth and well-being are more important than our own personal rights and desires. That's the thrust of the chapter. So, we have a summary here in these last three verses. He's wrapping things up, and you're saying, oh, good! I'm tired of having this being told to me over and over and over again. So let's see if we can finally get this here in this last little section. Look at verse 21. He says, it is good. It is good. He's not giving a negative. He's saying this is a positive thing. The word, the idea is that it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. If what I'm going to do, even if it's a neutral thing, even if it's something that something that is not an issue of sin in the Bible, it's a neutral thing or an acceptable thing. We see a number of places in the Scripture. We went through this when we started this at the beginning, that the Bible makes it very clear that if you want to eat a rabbit, a bunny, poor little bunny. If you want to eat a rabbit, if you want to eat shrimp, if you want to eat pork, that's perfectly acceptable, biblically. I am not under any constraints to eat kosher or to eat vegetarian. Now, if you want to, That's fine. It's not a command that you have to eat certain things and not eat certain things. It's just everything's good. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified, setified, holified by the word of God in prayer. I can enjoy all those things, and I can do so with a clean conscience because God has said so. But as we mentioned before, that there are people with just depending on their background, depending on a number of things, they might want to say, I just have a problem eating that thing. I mean, all my life, I have not, maybe somebody was raised Jewish, maybe somebody was raised Muslim. All my life, I have not eaten pork, and I just can't bring myself to eat it. Well, that's fine. Don't. It isn't that you can't be saved unless you eat pig. All right. That's not the point. It's just that we are allowed to. And if you have trouble with that, then don't eat it. It's not a problem. And that is the thrust here. But if I'm having somebody to my house that is converted from Islam or is converted from Judaism, I'm not going to serve those things. I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to be a hindrance to them. I don't want to put them on the spot or have them do something push them into something that's going to make them feel uncomfortable. Because by doing so, I may be pushing them to go contrary to their conscience. And that is the whole point, because whatsoever is not of faith is sin, it says in the last phrase of this chapter. So Christian duty, this is a good thing. Christian duty should be a pleasure. And most of the time it is. But to do without something, we don't necessarily look at as a pleasure, especially in our very consumerist culture. We like to have all of it. We like to be able to do this and do this and do this. And for somebody to say that, oh, by the way, so-and-so is going to be here, so we shouldn't be having such and such. Oh, man, I was looking forward to that. Oh, you know how much I like that. Oh, man, that means I got to do this. Oh. Okay, to serve the Lord, Christian duty should be a pleasure, even in self-sacrifice. Doing without for the benefit of others should be a pleasure. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And it should be a pleasure to do the good thing. Don't tear down by insisting on having your way. Don't tear down what God is building up. Sometimes we do it actively. Sometimes we do it passively. Sometimes our attitude. We need to be very careful of these things. That would be an encouragement to our brothers and sisters in Christ. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation. That's the whole manner of life, not just what you say. In charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. I'm to be an example. Oh man, that's a big demand. We are to strive for these things. We are to be an example for the benefit of others. So that we're not a stumbling block to others. So that we give them something to, our lives should ideally be lived in such a way that we are something that a new believer is to shoot for. Now that's a high demand. Paul said, those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Paul says, I'm an example. Follow me. Do what I do. Say what I say. Man, oh man. Can you imagine? Somebody's watching you. They're being very, okay, brother so-and-so is doing this, must be okay. Folks, whether we recognize it or not, people are doing that. And we need to be very, very careful. There are certain things that we may say, man, but I like, yeah, I know that. But you're around some new believers, and sometimes you don't even know it. Sometimes you don't even know it. At the workplace, word may be around, it may be a known quantity that you are a believer. And you may have people that you're working with that are new Christians or maybe young in their maturity. One of the things that we've had here at Grace over the years, this nature of the ministry we have here, is we've had a lot of folks here, come here, who have been saved for sometimes a decade or two, but they have never really been taught and discipled. Everything's surface. And so they begin to get some meat and potatoes here. And they're growing and they're learning. You have no idea what the status is of everybody around you. Sometimes you've got some newer believers around you. We need to make sure that we are not stumbling blocks. And we need to make sure that we are examples, because whether we like it or not, there are folks watching us, and some of them are watching to see if you're going to measure up to what you claim to be. And then there's other folks that are looking at you as an example of what I should be. Man, that's a big request. That's a big demand on us. But it's something that we need to fulfill. We need to edify one another. Look back a couple of verses to verse 19. He says, "Let us there follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another." Now, edify is one of those Christian words, part of our lingo. It means simply to build up. To build up. We want to be a help and encouragement to one another. We need to build each other up. We need to strengthen others in their Christian walk. Encourage victory over temptation. We need to be sound in our doctrine and our philosophy, and it needs to reflect itself in what we say, do, and how we live. And we need to be on 24/7. It's very, very simple. It's very, very simple. Lots of folks do this. Millions of people are doing this today. They come to church and they flip the switch. They've got on their Christian face. And they live this way during the time they're in church. And then when they get in the car, it's like, oh, not going to be myself. My own nasty, normal self. We need to make sure that we're on 24/7. Because our Christianity should not be simply something that we should have here. As a matter of fact, it's in a lot of ways more important that we live the way we're supposed to live when we're away from here. Because then the world's watching. And we need to make sure that we're on 24/7. Back to our verse there, verse 21. It says, "It is good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak." I need to put the benefit of others before myself. Sometimes that's not easy.